Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is George Gamond, and it's Friday. Another Friday show. I kind of leave Friday shows open to discuss a lot of things that you want to talk about, you know, and we talk to dead people. Well, you know, friends, relatives, people that have passed that might give you some information. So we'll do that today. I have some articles. Want to mention the class that I'm giving on Learn It Live a little bit later today. It's 2 o'clock here, Pacific Standard Time, and the class is at 5 o'clock. PM Pacific Standard Time, and it's about developing your intuitive skills. And I'm going to talk about last week the same kind of format. I talked a little bit about angel cards and pendulums and various other ways of getting your own answers. So this week I'm taking a little bit further. I'm going to get into a little bit of that, depending on who signs up for the class. And the cost is $10, and if you sign up now, you get a 25% discount. Still, I think it's still available for a certain number of people that sign up. So it's going to be fun. I try to keep the classes really fun. I have learned, and I see I have a caller, and I'll be with you in a second. So I have learned over the years that what I'm best at is, let's say, passing on information, teaching, instructing, giving people things that inspire them to, you know, be the best person they can be. That's usually what it's all about. And so, and giving you information that will help you to manifest or create the world that you want. So that's what I'm best at. And I have discovered that. And it's getting slammed home with me doing these classes because I really love that sort of thing. Love helping people in that way. And, you know, being able to get your own answers, it's kind of like the attitude of you can take a person fishing and they can catch a fish. Or you can catch a fish for somebody, or you can show them how to fish. And that's what I'm trying to do, show people how to create the life that they want. And so saying all that, and I know I have a caller, and I'll be with you in a second, I kind of shy away from predictions. Kind of feel that, yeah, you're creating your own world. You know, you and the universe, you and God are creating the world that you want. And the advice that I can give you, and anybody really can give you, is maybe how to do that a little bit better. Maybe this is where you're falling down. So that's kind of the direction I'm headed. So I'm going to do more of the, even the radio show is going to be more about that. I might even cut the show back a little bit. So it is really more about teaching and less about, you know, answering questions that, yeah. Okay, so let me take a call. I've just been thinking a lot about this lately, that what I love to do is to instruct. Give information. Okay, so let me take a call, see if we're on the same wavelength. Then I have some articles. We're back to instructing, right? Back to some interesting material that I think you'll enjoy along various ways, various ideas, mostly about creating the world that you want. How do you do that? That's a big question. How do you create the world that you want? Hello?
Hi. Hi, George. Susan.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm getting excited about doing the class later today, so yeah.
Do you need snow?
Do I need snow? No, I think it's no, it's we're going to be in the 80s this weekend, so it's going to be nice and warm and toasty here.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, we get these Santa Ana winds that come through, and well, we're short on rain, and so you could pipe it up as rain or water. You could send it back to us. We're going to be a little bit low on water this year again. El Nino did not hit Southern California. It hit Northern California, but not Southern California. So that we get a lot of water. We get a lot of water from the north anyway, though, but that's okay. Well, the rain's really important for a lot of different reasons here. I mean, not just, even though you get water from somewhere else, it does clear the air. It does make things a little nicer. So what's going on with you today?
It's a free car wash.
Yeah, I know that one. That's a good one. Snow doesn't do that. Snow doesn't do that, though.
I had a friend, Victor, who came to visit me, and we went out to lunch. It was very nice. And I was just wondering, because, you know, we're going to do it again sometime, if it's more in, is it going to go more towards the friend zone, or
don't you have an intuitive feeling on that? I'm trying to get people to tap into
seems
their
like
own.
Seems like it thing. Could be possible, but
okay. Let me ask you this now. Let's get into your energy field here a little bit, and let's tap into it. I don't want to give you a definitive yes or no on a friendship, but I want to say yeah. I want to feel that when you met him, what was the energy between you?
But when he came to visit,
mm-hmm.
He was very gentlemanlike. He had, of course, I knew him 40 years ago.
Okay, well, that's a long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, back then he had a crush on me, but, of course, a lot has changed since then.
Really, so, in 40 years you've changed a little?
I mean, who'd have thought?
Yeah, really. I can't believe that. You've changed in 40 years. Right. Yeah, sure. I was thinking about, okay, so let's get to the nitty gritty here. Let's get down to, does he want more than friendship? Yes. I don't necessarily feel his energy wanting a relationship per se. If it knocked him, on the side of the head, he would probably accept it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he's not seeking that per se. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Seeking maybe a little romance in life, but not necessarily taking the full Monty. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's very busy.
Yeah. So I would be careful with you and your heart and getting too attached to him other than, yeah, we can be friends. And if it gets to be a little romantic, I can kind of accept that, but I'm not going to give my heart to you, you know.
Right, right. Go crazy over it.
Don't go there. Let him. And he just feels withdrawn a little bit, pulled back a little bit. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He's been burnt in relationships, you know. But that's a perception on his part, and I say it this way, and I'm trying to read his energy, and it feels like that's a perception on his part, being that sometimes people, it just doesn't work out, okay? Then you feel you're being burned. You feel like, they you know, blah, 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 and you could have been a creep yourself a little bit. I'm sure he contributed to it. And there's no 100% one side. So he took it kind of weird.
Yeah,
so he's cautious.
Like I think they didn't mesh very well, have as much in common as he thought that it would work out that way. Like maybe she didn't want to go boating and things like that.
Well, that's a weird thing that's expectations in a relationship, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're going to have differences. You just kind of celebrate the differences. So to answer your question, I would expect maybe romance from it, but I wouldn't expect the, you know, walking down the aisle kind of stuff. Okay?
Okay.
You don't want to get married.
No, not really. No.
No, you don't want to. Yeah, I think you would like a partner or somebody, but I don't even think you really want to share your space with somebody.
How perceptive. I mean, I'm very independent.
Yeah, I just can't see you taking on some man that wants to kind of live together, and then you take on this role of his expectations are, you do all the cleaning and cooking, and I'll do this and I'll do that, right? I'll go play, watch football. I'll go watch football, and you do all this stuff. Right,
yeah,
you're not going to go.
I haven't done that yet.
You're not going there. You're not going there. You're not going there. You want dinner, go make it, right? You got this. You want dinner, go get it, right? Take me out if you want dinner. I'm not cooking for you all the time. I'm not doing your laundry. Get out of here.
Hell no.
Go find a mother, you know? The more I get into his energy, and I'm really kind of being careful and warning you a little bit on bottom, because he feels a little lonely and a little needy, okay?
Yeah.
Okay?
Hmm. Yeah,
be careful. Just keep it at that romantic kind of whatever you want to go where, but don't get too deep with it.
Yeah, just come by like every couple of months and we'll go to lunch.
Yeah, whatever you want to do with it. Whatever you want to do with it, right?
Okay.
Whatever you're comfortable with.
All right. This sounds good.
Yeah, because the next thing you don't want him to just kind of take over your life, rule you.
No. No, that's...
No, you're not going to let that happen, are you?
No.
Okay, good for you. Okay, take care.
You too.
Okay, okay. Bye now.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, we... Men, we are just funny creatures sometimes, aren't we? I mean, I say that in all love of my fellow gender and say that you men out there. But... You know, women want men to be independent, but then they also want them. They also want to take care of men at the same time. What do you guys think about that? That's kind of an interesting dichotomy, I would call it, that women want men to be independent, but there's another part of women that want to take care of a man, and then men slip into this let that happen kind of thing. So what do you think? I don't know. Do you believe in that or not? Okay. So I will continue to mention my show. My class is today at 5 o'clock Pacific time. There is a cost, so I'll warn you right up front, you know that. And I think it's going to be good. We're going to talk about intuitive abilities, but I'm going to talk a little bit today's class about, this sounds like a whole promotion, and I don't mean it to be exactly that. But we're going to talk a little bit about what's the difference between clairsentience, clairaudient, and clairvoyance. What is the difference? And perhaps a little bit about how to develop each one of those. You know, I talked last class a little bit about the pendulums and divining rods and angel cards and some other things. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But part of that is about, what they're going to say, what each one of these is related to and how they can make your life easier, especially if you know you're clairaudient or clairvoyant. How does that make your life easier? Good question. Okay, so let me get into the articles and have some fun. If anybody has any questions about, anybody wants to hear from some people that have passed, the non-physical world, friends, relatives, former employer. You know, something I've never thought, well, that does come through from time to time. You get former employers and neighbors and just people that you knew or people that knew your father. You know, one big happy family. You know, because you've reincarnated with these people. So they're kind of on the other side, and a lot of them are in your soul family. And if they're in your soul family, they're kind of paying attention to you right now, going, why did you do that yesterday? Is that really on path what you're supposed to be doing in your life? That sort of thing. So it's kind of interesting. So we'll get into, let me give you an Abraham quote to start. And it's kind of like, just kind of a kicker start thought and on this whole thing. This is Abraham, the Abraham material, you know, Esther Hicks, The Secret, Abraham, all that good stuff, right? Source energy is a streaming consciousness that is streaming into your physical body. Source energy, now you could call that divine energy, God energy, universal energy, whatever you call it. They call it source, and I like the word source. Source being the source of everything, you call that God. I call it source. Okay, it's streaming to your physical body. And when you allow your connection to be full, that's when you feel so good. Now, we all want to feel good. And feeling good is the essence of getting what we want. If we're feeling good, we allow the universe to open up to us everything we want. So it's about feeling good. So when you're fully open to that, it's kind of a chicken and the egg thing in a way, because you have to be feeling good to allow it. But if you allow it and allow this connection, you also will feel good. Does that make sense? So you got to get into good feeling places, however you can do that. Right? Okay. Susan Coleman, huh? When did she pass? Just give me a kind of a general time frame so I kind of see if I can tune into her energy a little bit. You don't mind doing that for me. When? When's good? When's a good word? When upon a time? I don't sing, but I like to dabble a little bit and get myself in trouble trying to sing, right? Okay, so you tell me when, and I'll be back in a second. And let me give you a thing from Pam Grout. I always quote Pam. I like Pam. I like this quote. This is a really cool quote. life is too important to take seriously. That's kind of a interesting play on words, isn't it? Life is too important to take seriously. And I like this quote. Pam's throwing a bunch of quotes out, so we'll talk about what Pam's been throwing out there in a minute. I know you were writing me something, and I'll be back to you in a minute. Think about this quote for a minute. And think about this idea about being happy and what it takes to be happy. People and circumstances don't make me happy. I get there all by myself. Carla from my gratitude posse. It's one of her people that she pays, you know, gratitude posse would be like a blog or people that contribute what they're grateful for in life. But people and circumstances don't make me happy. I get there all by myself. Now, a lot of us have that, and I raise my hand and I say I've done this, that we look for other things to make us happy versus just saying that we are happy. We are happy people. And things just make us more happy, more happier, happiest. Right? Okay, so when did she pass? No, you're not going to answer my question, are you? Get a message. Come on, my friend. Give me approximately when she passed. Okay. Somebody left the chat room. They must not be happy. Okay, I'm kidding. I don't know. So Susan Coleman, what is she? Let me see if I can tap into her. Sometimes I can't. Sometimes they just don't want to talk to me. It's something to the effect that your cautiousness, being overly cautious, cautiousness is your worst enemy, or cautiousness is what holds you back from achieving what you want. Having more of a carefree, wide open attitude and being less cautious opens you up to the flow from the divine. Okay, that's a message. That's an interesting message, and we could all take that one to heart, right? From the non-physical world to the physical world, they're saying we're being way too cautious, that we need to be open and flow and to be in the zone and to have fun, and that opens us up. And your friend is saying basically what your Abraham is saying, because they're all in connected at that level, okay? So do you think you're too cautious? At times, you could be a little bit more of a risk taker, as in life. Not jumping off cliffs, risk taker, but just, getting out there, trusting the universe will give you what you want as long as you take those leaps of faith. I have a problem with that one. So, when I say these things, the fingers point back at me and they go, George, you could do this more. You could do this more. You could be a little bit more trusting. So I'm working on trusting. I'm working on relying on the universe more. We all have problems. We all have problems. I guess that's her answer for you, is just to be a little less cautious. Your cautiousness sometimes limits you from getting what you want in life. You have to be more trusting in the universe. It's hard. You have to start with little things. Let me take a call. We'll get into more what Pam was talking about being happy. I think happiness it's an internal process, but Pam had a nice way of putting it. Hello.
Hi, George.
Hello.
Hi. Talking of past life, can I ask something about that?
Yeah, you can ask.
Sure, thank you. Can you see what past life I and my friend had together, my friend Margarita, had led together, and what our story was and why we have met again in this life?
Well, that's a big one. Well, we won't get into all of them, but maybe there's probably more than one. Yes. What year were you born?
This life, 1978.
And how old is she, approximately? Same age? Close to the same age?
8 years different, so she was 88 or 89.
Oh, she's pretty young, huh?
I think I'm sorry, 87, I think. Yeah, 87.
Yeah, I'm getting a yes. I'm getting that you both lived the past life. You both died somewhere in the 1930s. Okay. Interestingly, it feels like Africa. Okay, I'm trying to get what area of Africa, but it feels like Africa versus any other. That's the continent I'm being taken to, is Africa. So it feels like Southern Africa, like South Africa, generally in that area of Southern Africa. Okay?
Okay.
But you were both educated. You were both educated. So you might have been not of the, let's say, local people, but you were like, you know, your family came from somewhere else, you know. So, yeah, I don't know if you were Dutch or whatever it was, but you weren't, because you were both educated, and you both were. Now, let me try to get the relationship. I hear father, daughter, father, daughter, father, daughter. Okay?
Right, yeah.
So she must have died later, but yeah, you died in, no, okay, well, let me try to get this energy right. You died in the 30s. You were fairly old. You were in your 70s. You lived on a ranch or a plantation. Your daughter was there. She helped you. There was about a 20-year difference, 25-year difference. That would explain why she would die a little bit later, but not too much later after you. So she died in the 50s, it feels like, okay? Late 40s, 50s. Mm-hmm. But it was a father-daughter. It was a very close relationship. Nothing weird, but it was just close friendship, relationship, father-daughter relationship. So you have that connection. So you're here to try it a little differently in this life. You're here to do your relationship a little differently. Don't act like a father, though. Don't act like a father, okay?
Yeah, which I do at times.
Don't give that energy out to her. You know, you're not here to be her father. Okay? She had one.
No.
Okay?
Was there any finished story that needed to be taken care of in this life?
It really is about, it really feels like it's more about getting closer at a different kind, in a different kind of way than in a past life. Okay? It's not a father-daughter thing. And you wanted to break that cycle of that kind of relationship, and you wanted to go into, you want the relationship to go a different direction. Okay? And your challenge is not to become the father image. You really need to put across the boyfriend. Okay?
Yeah.
Not so serious in your relationship either. Okay?
Yeah.
And depend on her a little bit more, and don't be the authority.
No. Yeah.
That's not easy for you, though. You know that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And you are amazing. Yeah.
Okay. So work on it. Work on just being a friend and being depending on her a little bit more in the relationship or the friendship. Okay?
Sure, I will. Thank you. And you take care.
You too. Bye now.
Bye.
That was fun. Past lives are always fun. I like past lives, I like dealing with people's past lives, because we learn. It's about the teaching process, because what do we learn about ourselves? What do we learn about our future and where we're here and why we're here and why people are in our lives, which is really important to know all these things, right? Yes. So am I going to get to Pam Grout's article? Let me read a little bit what Pam had to say, and I thought this was interesting. I'm trying to skip the first part of it and get into the she was writing back and forth with her friend, and she talked about the friend wrote about unconditional happiness, but then she called it unconstitutional happiness, and that kind of stuck, this idea of unconstitutional happiness. And let me read a little bit what she said about that. Here's why. The 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, borrowing the famous line of the Declaration of Independence, guarantees us the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unconstitutional is my preference, because pursuing happiness doesn't work. Pursuing happiness doesn't work. It puts us in the position of constant seekers. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeking, tired of waiting for that thing I'm supposed to find someday. Happiness isn't far away at the top of some mountain. It's already right here in the here and now, this moment. I'm going to let you chew on that for a little while. I'm going to read the rest of it. But think about that. Happiness is not something to pursue. It's not the pursuit. It's not the unconstitutional. We don't have this unconstitutional. We don't have this constitution or this, let's say, mandate to pursue happiness. It's here. It's within us. So we don't need to read another book, another seminar, another practice. We got this. It's etched into our DNA. The only problem ever is our misperception. What if we let go of all our illusions, our beliefs, that there's something we have to do? Let me read that again. That there's something we have to do. What if we just stopped and looked around and realized, wow, what a cool world I live in. Okay, I think that's great. I think that's an interesting way of looking at it. I don't know if you accept that concept or not, but if you live in the moment and you really appreciate the moment, I'll answer your question in a second. If you want to register the class, and you can listen to it later. Yeah, there'll be a replay of it. Yes, you can. Yeah, you can. You can listen to it later. Okay. True. Yeah, you can listen to the first one too. And I see people that come in later and listen to the shows over again. I don't know their policy, but I think once you've paid for a class, you can continue to listen to the class. Okay. Moving right along, what are we talking about? Okay, we're talking about happiness. Now, I think it's a really valid point that Pam is making, that if you learn to appreciate living in the now, if you learn to appreciate what you have right now, that's where you find happiness. And it's learning to appreciate, really appreciate, if that makes sense. Looking for things to appreciate in your life, looking at the marvels of life around you, stopping, instead of being the seeker of happiness, so I'm going to go to another movie, it's going to make me feel happy. I'm going to go on that roller coaster because it's going to make me happy. I'm going to find that boyfriend because it's going to make me happy. How many people say that? If I just find that person in my life, I will be happy. And what if they don't work out? Then you're miserable again. Then you put a lot of expectations on somebody else to be happy, haven't you? You ever go on vacation? Boy, when I'm going to go on vacation, I'm going to feel really good, and I'm going to feel really happy when I go on my vacation. I'm going to be so happy because I'm tired of working. I'm going on vacation. I'm going to feel so happy. And then when you get home, you go, well, it's kind of disappointing. You know, I didn't feel as happy as I thought I was going to be. We build expectations from the things that we seek to do to be happy. I think it's a great quote. It's a great little article, because if we just stop for a moment and say, I'm just going to kind of be in the moment. I'm reminded of this song. What's his name? Luke Bryan. That's his name. Luke Bryan, I think, is his name. And it's about the passing of a friend. And the very line in the past is, I'm going to sit on the beer and sit on the pier and drink another beer. You can find just peace in that. Just sitting on the pier, sitting by the water, sitting in the bathtub, having a glass of wine, just being in the moment. That's where you find happiness, just in those peaceful places. I'm kind of buzzed out this morning, kind of like thinking about things and getting a little wired out. And I just decided to meditate for a few minutes. I should be doing it every day, but I let life get busy like we all do, right? And I just decided this morning, I'm just going to meditate. I'm just going to focus on recentering myself. And I feel so much better. Yes. So if nothing else, if you want to refocus yourself, just meditate for a few minutes. Just get into that practice of deep breathing, relaxing, turning off your mind. Yeah, it was John Lennon talked about turning it on and floating downstream. turning it off and floating downstream. Just let it go. Just imagine yourself in a boat just floating downstream, you know, watching the things on the sides. And it's a great mental meditation, a visualization of just floating in a boat, floating in your raft, gentle river, floating down. Don't imagine rabbits or anything horrible, and just enjoy what it is. Put your hand in the water. It's a great meditation. Just recentering yourself, just getting into that. Yeah, it's good just to be right here, right now. Okay, so another article. Any questions? Anybody wants to talk? Anything about past lives? Any ideas? Yeah, I was going to teach a class on meditation in that class one of these days too, I think. Thinking about that, how to use meditation to manifest whatever you want in your life. And it's really getting centered, getting calm, getting a peaceful state. So I have another quote. Yay, another quote. And I thought this was really cool. And I don't use this quote. It's Mike Dooley. I like Mike Dooley. He's written a bunch of books. And I get quotes from him every day. So I think Mike is one of these. I think Mike was in The Secret, too. Yes, he was. He was in The Secret. That's where I heard about Mike. I get these updates called Tut, a note from the universe. Tut, tut, you know, that sort of thing. So let me read this quote from him. And the way he does is he individualizes it, or his staff, or whoever does these, right? But I thought today's was really kind of a cool one. If you can see it in your mind, it's real. Wow. All that remains is merging the present you know and the world you've imagined, which is my part. Now, speaking from the voice of the universe, so you have to, when I'm reading this, think in terms of the universe is saying this, God or whatever source energy is saying this. All that remains is merging the present you know and the world you imagined, which is my part, part of the universe. And you can best help me align circumstances, coincidences, and close encounters by getting busy, going out into the world and moving in a general direction of your dreams. Okay, even if you only to do what your peers might do, you know, not it's not of life's magic. Wow, that was kind of a odd sentence. If only to do what your peers might do, you know not of life's magic. So head towards your dreams. You know, okay, let me finish the rest of the quote. And we'll talk about this heading toward your dreams. How do you do that? Because if you don't know where to go, sometimes it's hard to get your dreams, right? You don't know what path to be on. Okay, but you know the truth. You know how life works. Do not waver in your march, no matter how humble your steps. This is how I will reach you. And as you witness one dream come true after another, first the small ones, then the big ones, then the huge ones, you'll remember why you've been drawn to this jungles of time and space, if you haven't already figured it out. And that's the universe. But how do you get to those steps? The little steps. Well, you just take that step. You know, I've talked to people in readings and talked to people before. If you put your foot out there, the universe will give you the step. You just have to decide to get out there. You just have to wait for the synchronicity. And it doesn't take, it could be in an instant. A twinkling of an eye, as the expression goes, a twinkling of an eye. So just decide to make those steps to get busy in the world, to pursue your dreams. And the steps will be given to you. Now, that raises all kinds of questions, doesn't it? And I've talked to so many people about this. It raises the question, okay, I'm going to take the step, but what if it doesn't happen? By even saying, by what if it doesn't happen, you're raising doubt. And doubt keeps the step from being put there. Now, the challenge is for all of us, okay, what do I do? How do I get into that place? So that's where you're saying take baby steps. Little baby steps. And I'm reminded of that 48-hour challenge that Pam Grout writes about, of challenging the universe, the field of potentiality, and say, okay, within 48 hours, give me this. So I want this step. Show me the first step in 48 hours, what to do. That's the challenge to the universe. Try that. You want to go out there and pursue your dreams. So I'm tying different authors together here, different concepts together for you. And what you do is you say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow my dreams, but show me how. And then first of all, you say, okay, within 48 hours, give me the first step to take. And I'm going to go get busy, go have some fun, go appreciate the world around me, because I know that step's going to be there. And it could be a little dream. It doesn't have to be a giant dream to start with. And so 48 hours. And start that. And then start that process. Okay, show me in the next 48 hours, show me the step. The next step, the next step, the next step. Or, wow, and then you can pull it back in the next 3 hours, give me a step. When it starts to really work, it starts to flow. And you don't have to start. You don't have to ask anymore. It just flows. It's just like boom, 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 boom. Right? Has it happened to anybody I know? I don't know. Happened to any of you folks? Can you take that step and then boom, it starts happening quicker because you have faith, you believe, you don't doubt, you trust that the universe, those steps are going to be put in front of you, that the magic is going to be put in front of you. That's how it works. Okay, I'm going to another article. There's another one I wanted to talk about. No, I don't want to talk about that one. I know, I'm going like, no, I don't want to talk. This is a nice one. This is from beliefnet.com. 21 simple ways to quiet the mind. Ooh, that's interesting, huh? Quiet the mind. The monkey mind, as the Buddhists would talk about. We have this crazy monkey mind that gets in the way of us and it just chatters all the worry, all the fears, everything. We go, I got to do this, got to do that. What's going to happen to me? Okay. So let me read this. Andrea Ferretti. Okay. I don't know. And she teaches yoga. She's an executive editor of yogajournal.com. Oh, she lives in San Francisco. Ooh, how fun. Okay, so let's read her article and see if you agree with any of these. Okay, let me read the intro to her steps. It's a beautiful thing to have a full busy day, a life that's filled with work, family, relationships, and hobbies. But how many times that fullness becomes overload and you feel as though you must shut off the chatter in your brain. So you get overloaded. You get just the world starts throwing stuff at you. So let me get into her actual steps. Okay, one way is to walk it out. Take a gentle walk. Be sure to stop and smell the roses. So get in the moment. When you're in a walk, it's not about thinking about when am I going to pay those bills? And is he going to call me? And when am I going to move? And are the kids where are my kids going to college? And all the stuff that you worry about. It's take a walk and really get into nature. Everything around you. Notice the trees, the flowers, the plants. Really be fully engaged in the walk and not the chatter, right? Is that, you got that? I think it's really important to be fully engaged. Okay, talk it out. Call a friend who doesn't mind listening to an occasional venting session and let loose. Now, I vented with my friend the other day, and I sometimes kind of, you know, it's kind of a funny process of venting, I think. By the time you're done venting and putting it out there, and then you realize what you just said, and you go, well, that was pretty silly. That's not as important as I thought it would be. And I'm making such a big deal out of it. So a little bit of venting, and then you suddenly go, yeah, it's not that big a deal, really. Now that I put it out there, verbalized it, and okay. So that's a good way of just verbalizing it and realizing, what? Boy, I just kind of built that one up. That one made a mountain out of that one, right? Okay, let me find where I'm at here. Ooh, we're 21 ways. Okay, so talk it out. Talk with a friend, and it helps to let it go. Hug it out. Now, did you get your 12 hugs today, right? Cuddle with your pet or a loved one. See, your dog works really well here, your cat. Cats don't hug as well as dogs, I don't think. My cat's kind of a cuddler, but sometimes cats are not much of a cuddler. So close bonding releases hormones that make you fear. And the hormone is, I know the hormone, it's the tip of my tongue. There's a certain hormone by hugging. If you look into your dog's eyes and you hug your dog, you secrete the hormone and they secrete the hormone. It's true. It's scientifically proved. serotonin. Serotonin, I think, is what it's called. Serotonin? Must be. I think I'm right. And you both feel good. So go hug your dog. Look your dog's eyes. Hug. Dog feels good. You feel good. Life is good. So hug it out. Get that good chemical, internal chemical rush, right? Write it out. Now, this is like talking to your friend. If you don't have a good friend that's going to actually listen, or most of your friends are going to try to give you advice that you don't want to hear, right? So write it out. Put all of your hopes and dreams and disappointments in a journal. And when you put your pen down, put down your pen and close the journal, you will have a clean slate. So you let it all out, release it, and you'll feel better. And for one thing, you'll just feel like, oh, that wasn't such a big deal. That seems to be that big of a problem. I'm just building up my mind. Okay, the next one, sync your breath with movement. Not only does it feel good, it's the most immediate way to yoke your mind to the present moment. So breathe deeply, especially in nature. Get out in nature and just breathe deeply. You know, if it's smoggy, that's not a good time to deep breathe. Okay. No deep breathing in smoggy days. We've been better here in Southern California about that. So a couple more, and I will be back on Monday. If you can, sign up for the class. It's in approximately 2 hours and 15 minutes, and we'll have some fun. We'll talk about all kinds of interesting ways and intuitive ways that maybe you can get your own answers. We'll do that. And then I have some other classes coming up I'm thinking about after that. And I will be back on Monday for the show. And I like doing it. This is a teaching process because I think it's really enjoy this. If I think in terms of helping you, teaching you something that Spirit has to offer you, makes me feel good too, because I know I'm doing something, the work of the divine, right? Pursue a passion. Oh, this is good. I love this one. Do something you love, whether it's horseback riding, yoga, or writing poetry. You'll find that instead of having a scattered mind, you are singularly focused. I was talking to a friend or chatting with a friend yesterday about this a little bit, and how when I write poetry, I get into the zone. And when you're in the zone, everything else kind of goes away. So if you're doing something you're passionate about, you get into that zone. The Abraham material calls it getting into the vortex. And when you're in that space, you're happy, you're content, you're doing what you love to do. Everything feels good and everything's focused on that. And if applying this to the law of attraction, then when you're in that place of feeling completely focused on something you want, what you're asking for the universe to bring you, what you've been asking for, it speeds up the process. You're building bridges instead of walls to what you want. And that's, I choose my little story about bridges and walls, right? Okay, if you've heard it before, we'll talk about it. If you haven't heard about it, call me. Call in. Okay, so I got about a minute and a half. Maybe there's one more we can jump into. Ta-da! Be a daredevil. Like this. This is funny, but yeah, what, you know, bungee jump, skydive, get up and sing karaoke. Now that's a daredevil. Get outside your comfort zone, basically. The newness of all activities will keep your mind alert. Getting out of your comfort zone. It's doing something that stretches you, like the singing karaoke. Overcoming a fear of doing something. You don't have to jump out of an airplane. You don't have to bungee jump. But do something that you've been afraid of doing, and it's relatively safe, right? Speak in public, give a lecture, karaoke, whatever it is, find something that feels a little uncomfortable, but once you push through it and focus on it, you're going to feel really good about yourself for doing it. Try that, okay? So they're going, I don't know. No, try it. If you get a little scattered, try that, because you really got to focus on them to do that, don't you? Okay, so about 30 seconds left. So not time for any more calls. I'm having fun today. It's been a good class for me. And I'm going to use the word class because that's what I like to think in terms of, even when I talk about past lives and I talk to dead people, it's instructional. It's about learning. It's about improving. It's about inspiring. It's about giving you direction in life. And then you have to seize it and grab it and run with it, right? Seize it, grab it, and run with it. So thank you. I love you guys. I will be back on Monday. Join my class today if you can. Bye now. That was cool.